This is an episode of ASMRT from greg.org, in which I read an art-related texts in an ASMR-like voice. The 1983 painting Mathis by Gerhard Richter was to be sold yesterday, March 2nd, 2023, in the Contemporary Evening Auction at Phillips in London. With an estimate of 10 to 15 million pounds, the painting was withdrawn before the sale began. This is the essay for Lot 10 from the Phillips catalog. Titans of the 20th Century from the collection of Marcel Brin. Lot 10, Gerhard Richter, Mathis, signed, numbered, and dated 544-1. Richter 1983 on the reverse, oil on canvas, 200 by 200 centimeters, painted in 1983, estimate 10 million to 15 million pounds. Quote, a picture like this is painted in different layers, separated by intervals of time. The first layer mostly represents the background, which has a photographic, illusionist look to it, though done without using a photograph. This first smooth, soft-edged surface is like a finished picture. I partly destroy, partly add to it. It is a highly planned kind of spontaneity. Gerhard Richter. Muscular, dynamic, and pulsing with vitality, Mathis is a truly exceptional work from perhaps the most important period in German artist Gerhard Richter's practice, as he consolidated his relationship to abstraction and pushed it into radical new territory in the closing decades of the 20th century. Coming to auction for the first time, this important work was acquired by visionary French collector Marcel Brin in 1998, forming a centerpiece of his esteemed collection for over 20 years. The first and structurally most complex of a subset of four abstract canvases executed in the same large square format. Mathis possesses a rare intensity and fierceness. While all four canvases are characterized by their stunning bold colors, and a remarkable interplay of geometric structure, softer gradients, and streams of freer intuitive marks, the sense of spatial construction is especially pronounced here. Against this architectural sense of form, the softer fluctuations of the underlying sulfurous yellows and green gradients dance against the more gestural sections marked out in unmixed streaks of magenta and blue. Luminous and sharply delineated, the diamond form at the center of the composition is traversed by free-flowing incised lines, generating a remarkably choreographic quality well-suited to the disarming shifts in surface texture that emerge as the result of Richter's innovative introduction of the raking squeegee technique sparingly employed alongside more conventional brushwork here. Executed in 1983, less than 10 years after the creation of his very first abstractus built and his first tentative experiments with the squeegee technique that would come to dominate his abstract paintings after 1986. This key transitional work belongs to what are sometimes referred to as Richter's, quote, wild abstracts, which, as Robert Storr has suggested, radically redefined the painter previously well known for his monochromatic photorealist paintings as, quote, one of the greatest colorists of the late 20th century painting. Evolution of Abstraction, Richter in the 1980s. be tempting to attempt to draw a clear distinction between Richter's explosive abstractions and the muted gray tones of his earlier photorealist paintings. Richter's journey into colorful abstraction was anything but linear, involving complex exchanges and interrogations as he focused his attention on complicating the dialogue that he saw operating between abstraction and representation. Actively encouraging these conversations, Richter demonstrated a preference for exhibiting his masterful landscapes in the late 1970s and early 80s, alongside the growing body of abstracte Bilder, explaining that, quote, if the abstract pictures show my reality, then the landscapes and still lifes show my yearning, end quote. This was a strategy that Richter would continue as he started working on his iconic Kerzen, candles, and Schädel, skulls, between 1982 and 83. Indeed, when Mathis was included in the eponymous 1984 exhibition with Liliane and Michael Durand Desert in Paris, with 9 further wild abstracts from the period, they were shown alongside a selection of 5 Kerzen and Schädel paintings, most of which are now housed in eminent public collections, the luminous color contrasts marking a striking counterpoint to the serene and exquisitely rendered still lifes. Looking more closely, it is even possible to trace visual echoes of certain structural or compositional elements between the compositions, the darker passage in the lower section of Mathis visually corresponding to the denuded background space of the Kerzen and Schädel works, while the flame of the candle is echoed in the luminous rhomboid form glowing at the center of the present work. Interrogating the image. I am suspicious regarding the image of reality which our senses convey to us and which is incomplete and limited. Gerhard Richter. Born in Dresden in 1932, Richter came of age in a rapidly shifting political and cultural landscape, first joining the Dresden Academy of Fine Arts in 1951, before relocating to West Germany just before the construction of the Berlin Wall. Enrolling at the Dusseldorf Academy in 1961, Richter found an energetic artistic community, one especially taken with a then-ascendant pop art, and the utopian possibilities explored by collective international movements such as Fluxus and Zero. By 1963, Richter had already started collaborating more closely with Sigmar Polka and Konrad Lug, their so-called capitalist realism movement, founded in response to the rise of consumer culture and flood of visual media that started to dominate the cultural landscape in Germany during these years. The stark ideological differences played out between East and West Germany highlighted for Richter the contingency of such rigid stances, and establishing in him a deep distrust towards any claims to absolute truth. This would deeply impact his approach to art making and the sustained interest in the relationship between photography and painting, which has underpinned his entire career. Insisting on the fundamentally illusionistic nature of painting and asking viewers to consider their own mediated experience of reality, Richter began to paint from black and white family photographs and newspaper cutouts. Now collected together in Atlas, Richter has continued to build and work from this vast archive of images over the years, offering clear insight into the role played by the photographic image in his practices. When I copied the first photos, I had the feeling for the first time that I was doing something special and, above all, something of my own. In the jargon of the day, it was, quote, radical. And those who saw it suddenly had no argument, except for the one that it was unacceptable simply to ignore the rules and copy a photograph, Gerhard Richter. Painting directly from photographs or using other imaging tools, such as a projector, to map out these compositions, Richter also introduced a blurring technique in his application of paint, quote, at once emphasizing the work's identity as a painting and evoked the look of an unfocused or moving subject in a ready-made photograph, unquote. Challenging the autonomy and assumed veracity of the image in this way, Richter's blurred monochromatic photo paintings carry some of the alienating strangeness of surrealist photographic experiments by the likes of Man Ray and Dora Maar. However, in their commitment to a specifically German context of post-war identity and cultural consciousness, they move this into markedly different territory, which he would later expand further as he engaged more directly with the legacy of German Romanticism in his exquisitely rendered landscapes. Invited to represent West Germany in the 36th Biennale di Venezia in 1972. Richter's reputation grew steadily in these years, the artist not only producing a vast, experimental, and at times seemingly contradictory body of work, but reaching new levels of international acclaim with a series of significant solo exhibitions in some of the most prestigious institutions worldwide, including the Stedelijk van Abbe Museum in Eindhoven in 1978 and 1980, and London's Whitechapel Art Gallery in 1979. As the 1970s gave way to the 1980s, Richter also became more preoccupied with questions of abstraction, devoting most of his notes of the 1980s to, quote, the appearance, interpretation, and development of his abstract paintings, end quote. In a particularly famous statement made in conjunction with his presentation at Documenta 7 in 1982, Richter concluded, quote, abstract paintings are like fictitious models because they visualize a reality which we can neither see nor describe, but which we nevertheless conclude exists. We create a better means of approaching what can neither be seen nor understood, because abstract painting illustrates with the greatest clarity, end quote. As Richter embarked on this body of work in the early 1980s, once again it was photography that proved essential in developing this new avenue in his practice. Working on smaller scale oil studies, which he then photographed, Richter projected an enlarged detail onto canvas, reproducing an abstracted motif of the original study in paint. Copies in paint of photographic reproductions of smaller studies, the so-called soft abstracts, that he first embarked on in 1977 succinctly undermined the heroic narrative of mid-century abstract expressionism and its privileging of the romantic painter genius figure acting instantly and intuitively in front of the canvas. Although very different in its execution, we might bring Roy Lichtenstein's Little Big Painting to mind here, a work which similarly employs elements of mechanical reproduction and technological intervention to undercut abstraction's fetishization of, quote, the expressive connection usually expected between a painter and his media. As Camille Morineau explains, even after Richter moves beyond the need of a photographic support, the works produced in the early 1980s are a direct result of this process and represent a narrow window into Richter's production before the squeegee became more dominant as a tool for overall treatment. In Morineau's words, quote, "What we tend to find in the abstract paintings of 1981 to 1984, the years following the soft abstracts, stroke, and the first squeegee paintings, is that the three aspects of the blow-up process can be combined into the same work. In a single painting, we might find a soft form that seems to be based on an enlarged image of an abstract sketch, an inflated single brushstroke, and a portion of the canvas that has been traversed by a squeegee." End quote. It is this deft combination of its constituent parts that gives Mathis such vibrancy and verve, a compelling presentation of what Richter would term his, quote, "free abstracts," works produced without photographic support, which nevertheless retain the visual qualities of these enlarged motifs. Raking away layers of paint by dragging across the damp surface, localized sections recreate the visual effect of the blown-up image of a brushstroke, at once concealing and revealing the layers beneath. Optically disorientating, these gossamer light veils of color generate fascinatingly fluid effects, appearing as more solid from far away and dissolving into beaded drops of paint as we move closer. Alongside the luminous contrasts of vibrant unmixed planes of color, it is these rich surface textures and shifts between impasto, softer passages, and certain mechanical interventions that give these early 80s paintings their unique character. My paintings were becoming more and more impersonal and general until nothing was left but monochrome gray or colors next to each other, any unmodulated colors. Then I was totally outside my paintings, but I didn't feel good about it either. You can't live like that, and therefore I decided to paint the exact opposite. Gerhard Richter. Building on a modernist legacy of work interested in the interplay of flatness and three-dimensionality, painterly control and chance, and a deep investment in questions of artistic process, Richter's visually stunning and conceptually rigorous Abstracta Builder radically reframed the question of abstraction at the close of the 20th century. In the place of expressive immediacy and intuition, Richter placed a more searching inquiry into the nature of perception and reality, and of our own relationship to the image at the heart of his Abstracta Builder project. In his own words, "Abstract pictures do indeed show something. They just show things that do not exist. But they follow the same requirements as figurative works. They need a setup, structure. You need to be able to look at it and say, it's almost something. but it's actually representing nothing. It pulls feelings out of you even as it's showing you a scene that technically isn't there. Notes 1. Richard Storr. Gerhard Richter, Doubt and Belief in Painting, New York, 2003. Dieter Elger. Gerhard Richter Catalog Raisonné, Volume 3, 1967 to 1987, 2000, Bonn, 2013. 3. Mark Godfrey, Gerhard Richter Panorama, in Gerhard Richter Panorama, Exhibition Catalog, London, 2011. 4. Camille Morineau, The Blow-Up, Primary Colors, and Duplications, in Mark Godfrey, Editor, Gerhard Richter Panorama Exhibition Catalog, London, 2001. 5. Herbert R. Hartel, Jr., Demystifying Gerhard Richter's Gestural Abstraction, Painting in the Gap Between Abstract Expressionism and Pop Art, The Brooklyn Rail, February, 2015. 6. Camille Morineau, The Blow-Up, Primary Colors and Duplications in Gerhard Richter Panorama Exhibition Catalog, Tate Modern, London, 2001. Provenance. Galerie Liliane and Michel Durand-Desert, Paris. Galerie Ghislaine Ussinot, Paris. Acquired from the above by the present owner in 1998. Exhibited. You know, all the rest of this stuff is on Gerhard Richter's website.